what he means when he talks about being silent and speaking to us. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the folks here, the folks watching online. We thank you for our friends and family that are traveling. But most importantly, we thank you that we can speak to you and that you do, in fact, hear us. It's a promise that you give us, that you hear us. May we learn how to hear you back, Father, because just as we need to be heard, how much more so do you need to be heard? Show us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now don't get stressed out by this number, but 10 things. That's a lot. 10 things. We're going to look at 10 concepts, ideas, perceptions, however you want to view this. I believe it's a lot, but we can do this. We have the capacity. If you're taking notes, I've outlined these. If you have your trusty little cell phone, there's an app on there called YouVersion. It's a Bible app, and in that should be, under events, should be our service today, and these 10 things will be listed in there. It should be. If it's not, we'll get it up, but I'm pretty sure that's on there. So we're going to outline these things, and we're going to look at 10 accompanying verses. 10 verses, and we need to understand this from the beginning. I'm going to give you the end at the beginning. Every human being needs to know this. Are you listening? It's very important. You need to know this. You have to get this. This is something you must understand. God hears you. It's as simple as that. We could go home right now. We could take that. Can you hear me now? Yes, I can. We're done. That's the beginning and the end, but we're humans. We want stuff filled in. Well, how do I know you can hear me now? It doesn't seem like you hear me now. I don't feel like you hear me. That is the buzzword of the 21st century, the buzz phrase. I don't feel. And that goes across the spectrum. And if you find yourself in that arena, when you're in your dark moments, your challenging times, think, I don't feel. It's okay. It's okay not to feel. And feelings are there and they are real, but do not let feelings drive your life. And so when we don't feel like God hears us, it doesn't change the truth that God hears us. So we're going to look at these things. We're going to get started with the first question. Is the Lord being silent, or is he just quiet? Now, I put some verses up, and you're going to be able to look at these verses. And again, they're on that phone thing, but that doesn't stay there forever. It probably expires today at 1 o'clock, but you can save it. If you have your YouVersion, you can save that and go back to it later. I really encourage you, I strongly encourage you to go look at each of these verses. There's going to be 10 verses that are listed today. There's an 11th verse that I'll refer to. It's Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 33, but it won't be listed. But these 10 verses, you should study them. What I found interesting, I picked these 10 verses. I put together this concept, and that's how I often do things. I deconstruct backwards. So I built it, and then I tear it apart. And I went to my commentaries and my different things, and it was very interesting to me. And I did not plan this. I could not have planned this. But in these 10 verses that we're going to look at today, there is hardly any commentary listed anywhere in the commentaries. You know what that tells me? It tells me they are what they are and they say what they say. Sometimes we don't need to make any comment on what the Bible tells us. It just is what it is. We don't need to break down and parse out the little words in the Hebrew and the Greek and whatever other construct there is. It just says what it says. And that's neat. And I like that. So, 1 Kings chapter 19, 11 through 13. This talks about the question, is the Lord being silent or is he just being quiet? We read this, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. I know you know this passage. Most, if you've been a Christian very long, it's a beautiful passage. Elijah is trying to hear from God. And the thing is, we are inclined to loudness. We want loudness. So here's the battle in my house. I have a centrally located living area. I occasionally will watch certain shows. A lot of times I work while I watch, but sometimes I actually want to pay attention to the show. And then Tanya, the kitchen is right off the living area, and she's in there, and Eliah might be in there, and they have this thing called a ninja. Now, ninjas are supposed to be quiet, but apparently not in the blending world, because ninjas in the blending world tell you they're coming way before they ever get there. Now, I have touched the blade on my ninja, and it cut me, but they turn that sucker on. It's like, I'm like, oh my gosh. What? And I'm turning the TV up. Van is upstairs. It's usually about that time he's like, I'm going to play some guitar. And it's just rocking down the stairwell. The ninja's going. The TV's going. The dogs are barking. We are inclined to loudness. It is the nature of human beings. We need things to be loud because that gets our attention. So then why does God insist on whispering? If loudness is how we get our attention, when Pastor Jeff or myself want to make a point, or any preacher wants to make, we say something loud. We rarely go like this and talk like this. And yet our dad in heaven, when he wants to speak to us, he speaks to us often in a whisper. Often when we think God is being silent, he's merely being quiet. My dad is an amazing man. I have been very fortunate to be blessed with a great dad. He's still alive, thank God. He's 84 years old. My dad rarely, if ever, yelled. I don't know if he even has a loud voice. I can tell you, in my house growing up, when my dad talked like this, life was about to change for me in a bad way. When my dad's voice went down, I ran away. You know, God speaks to us sometimes in a whisper. Elijah was attentive to the wind. He was attentive to the earthquake and the fire, but because of his attentiveness, he discerned that God wasn't speaking in any of those, and then, only then, because he was giving attention, did he hear God in the whisper. And this is what we can learn from Elijah. This is the discipline we must get to quiet ourselves and listen for the whisper. The second question, is the Lord being silent or am I not listening attentively? Elijah just taught us the discipline of listening attentively. And my wife often accuses me of this. She accuses me of not paying attention, and sometimes she's actually right that I'm not paying attention. My kids are notorious for this. My kids, I can have a several sentence conversation with any one of my children, only for them to go, what? I'm like, who have I been talking to? And it's just amazing. And you'll think they're paying attention. They look like they're engaged, but they really did not hear what you said. If we look in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, we read this. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling, as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. To hear, we must be intentional. We have to pay attention, and we have to intentionally do this. And this is what we're learning from Samuel. God had called him at other times. Samuel didn't respond. So Eli, who was Samuel's mentor, said, here's what you got to do. You got to do this on purpose. You've got to be intentional. You've got to go and lie down and wait, and you will hear God's voice, and then you will answer him. I don't think we do this. And honestly, I think a ton of problems occur between and amongst humans because we don't really act this way. Communications breakdowns come from not being intentional and not being attentive. These breakdowns are true between husbands and wives, kids and parents, boyfriends and girlfriends. It's equally true between bosses and employees, and even friend to friend. We are not intentionally paying attention. We just don't. We're going 1,000 miles an hour. And things are just dropping left and right. God is always attentive. We are not. In this passage, I love what it shows when it says that Samuel had heard this before, or God had spoken before, and he didn't listen. But this time, because he was intentionally being attentive, he heard God. Number three, Is the Lord being silent, or do I need to wait on his timing to speak? How much fun is that? How much do you like waiting on the Lord? We sing songs all the time about waiting on the Lord. We talk about waiting on the Lord. I'm praying and waiting on the Lord. It seems like I've been a Christian for 33 years. It seems like most of those years I've been waiting on God. Well, no, it's not true. I don't really wait. Most of the time, if I had waited on God, I would have learned more things. It says, we don't give him the time. King Solomon spoke of this in the third chapter of Ecclesiastes when he talked about there being a time for everything. You know this passage, but in the seventh verse, he says this, there is a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak. Many times, we want answers right now, but the situation really calls for silence. Again, going back to my wife, who is a very wise woman, sometimes she's mad at me. I know it's hard to imagine, but it does happen occasionally, a lot. She's mad at me. She's not really mad a lot. But many times, I want to know what she's thinking, and I press her, tell me, and she wisely stays silent, and she'll tell me, she goes, I don't want to tell you what I'm thinking right now. It's not wise to do so. And it is wisdom, because sometimes we have to wait on the right time for things to be said. There is a time to speak and a time to be silent. True wisdom is knowing what time it is. God is perfectly wise, and at times we perceive his being silent because he's like being a jerk or something. God is never a jerk. That's us putting our pettiness on him. He is never a jerk. In the moments when we think he's silent, we must wait on his timing. If we don't, the consequences are catastrophic. Fourth, is the Lord being silent, or am I seeking the counsel of man first? And that means man or woman. That's human. Is the Lord being silent, or am I seeking the counsel of people first? In the book of 2 Chronicles, the 18th chapter and the 4th verse, we read these words. But Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, first seek the counsel of the Lord. On the surface, this really seems weird. Why would someone need to tell the king to seek the Lord first? But Jesus, in Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 33rd verse, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. So Jesus felt like we needed to be told to seek God first. Jehoshaphat felt the need to tell the king of Israel to seek God first. So apparently, what is something we do not do? We do not seek God first. We will seek everything else, the horoscope in the newspaper, the cardinal landing in our branches outside of our window, the piece of paper that blows on the floor, is the Lord speaking to me? The commercial that comes on the is that God speaking? We do not seek him first. We often seek everything else. And the Bible makes it clear, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first his righteousness. Jesus tells us to do this. God tells us this is what it is. Jehoshaphat tells Ahab, the king of Israel. See, Jehoshaphat was a rich man. He was a powerful man, and he was the king of Judah. He was used to people coming to him and asking for advice and asking his opinion. And his advice to the king of Israel was very simple. Have you first sought counsel from God? Now, please don't misunderstand me. We are to seek counsel from wise people, from godly people, but always, 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 always we seek God first. It is always God that we go to first, and then we work out from there. And Jesus telling us this in Matthew chapter 6 only underscores it's our human nature to first seek others because we prefer flesh and blood. We want to hear a voice and see a face and just smell their presence, but God says, seek me first, always. Our fifth question begins to get more personal. This fifth question is this: is the Lord being silent, or am I being double-minded and lacking faith? Do you ever like to be called someone who's double-minded or lacking faith? It's not really a pleasant thing. If someone, you go to do something, someone says, well, you just got to have faith. Yeah, we're almost offended by that. Well, I got faith. Well, really? Okay. You got to trust that God's going to do it. I trust that God's going to do it. Then why are you running around like a chicken with your head cut off? You see, sometimes we think God's being silent, but we're really being double-minded. James speaks to this in the chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, famous passage. It says this, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks," whenever the Bible throws a but in, you want to pay attention. "But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does." I have read this verse to myself untold times in my life. We who doubt can be double-minded, and we are unstable. Why would we think we would deserve anything from God if we doubt? Now, please don't confuse this. God's big enough to handle our doubts. We can have doubts. Doubts do not separate us from fellowship from Jesus. The book of Romans makes that very clear. Neither life nor death, nor powers nor principalities, nor darkness nor doubts. Nothing will separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. So you can have doubts. But when you're seeking God, when you're asking God, when you want to hear from God and you doubt and you don't believe that he hears you and will answer, he who doubts is like the wave of the sea blown and tossed about. A double-minded man is unstable in all he does. We do not want to be double-minded people. We have to have the faith that is required. It is our responsibility. We must understand that God handles our doubts, but he wants us to trust and believe. It's easier not to doubt when you remember this truth. And I challenge all of us to test this truth. I'm going to say a phrase. It's a weirdly worded phrase, but this is the phrase. God only always keeps his promises. You get that? God only always keeps his promises. I know that's hard for some of us. We've lost loved ones. We have tragedies in our lives. We get destroyed in one way or another. We're offended. We are abused. Whatever it is. But that's not what God has done to us. He only always keeps his promises to us. And based on that, we can stand firm and not doubt. When we think God is being silent, we got to make that honest assessment. Is he being silent? Or am I lacking in faith? Am I doubting? This is the type of thinking we got to employ as mature believers in Christ. When you grow up in Jesus and leave that baby stuff behind and get into man and woman stuff, we start to talk about the seriousness of having faith, the seriousness of not doubting and trusting. Sixth one, is the Lord being silent or am I not being submissive to his will in my situation? Anybody here like to submit? I don't know if I want, yep, nobody raised their hand, not a single person. Just note for those in Facebook land, nobody here raised their hand about wanting to submit, and especially not me. We do not submit naturally. We do not. We even have entire sports thing, extreme sports, whatever they call that, the fighting, whatever, VJ knows what it's called. And these guys beat each other until someone submits. And these people will have arms hanging off and bleeding profusely before they finally submit. We do not like to submit, do we? We don't like to be submissive. We want to be in control. We want our stuff. We want to be the boss. We want to be in charge, to control things. And these preferences don't fit well in a relationship with God, who, irrespective of what we think, is in charge. He is the boss. The Bible says this, and it's a terrifying, terrifying verse. If you've not read this verse, my goodness, read it, think about it. It's in Philippians. It says this, "At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and below the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." That is a terrifying verse. If you want to know the Greek word for every and what it means every. It means every knee, every tongue in the history of humanity will bow and confess that he is Lord. That is scary. We will submit. You will submit sooner or later. My strong encouragement is that we submit now while we're walking with the Lord now. This is the time to do that. Many times when we claim the Lord is silent towards us, the truth is we hear him clearly. Guys, I do this too, so don't think I'm calling anybody out. But I've sat in my pastor office, and I've had people across the desk from me, and they're telling me their story. And in their story, it is so evident and clear that God has spoken almost audibly, as if he wrote it on a chalkboard in their house, exactly what they are to do. And they're sitting there going, well, I just don't know what the Lord wants me to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. What? What? You just told me what the... Well, I'm not sure. They're not willing to submit. The writing's on the wall. You need to leave your job, go to this other job. You need to do this thing. And they're like, I don't know. I can't figure it out. Well, okay, I don't think you're listening. I think we're that way. I think we lean on our own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 say this. It's powerful stuff. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. We seek the Lord, we hear the Lord, and then we pretend he didn't say anything. Is that true? It is for me. 100% true for me. I can be reading it on the page in my Bible, specifically answering the question that I have, and I'm like, oh, geez, I wish I knew what God was saying. It's just the way we are. It's our human nature. And as we mature in our following of Jesus, we must learn to submit. We seek the Lord, we hear him, we pretend he didn't say anything, because the truth is, we prefer our crooked paths, and he's trying to make our paths straight. You know how you make a path straight? Anybody? There's only one way. You have to remove the obstacles. My friends are in town from Arizona, and they were telling me, they were driving through the country, and they're like, what is the deal with Indiana country roads? You can't go from here to there, because you go down and you turn left, you make that jog by the silo, and you go down to the red barn, turn right, you know what I'm saying? Head on down, there's a blue barn, don't ask me why there's a blue barn, but it's blue, and you turn left there, and there's a little squiggly jog. Those are country roads in Indiana. Why? Because somebody didn't submit to the planners who wanted to put the road straight through. Simple as that. That's how we live life. Whew. God wants to make our path straight, and by doing that, he will remove all the obstacles. We often like those obstacles. Okay, three more. Our seventh question is this. Is the Lord being silent? Now listen to this. This is hard, 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 hard stuff. Is he being silent, or am I holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness? This is it. This is the whole thing. So many of us are so bitter. We are mad. We are unforgiving. I will never. He will never. She will never. And we take these stubborn stances. In the Old Testament, the Jews were often referred to as stiff-necked people. And we read those Old Testament passages as if they're some land before time that has nothing to do with us. Guess who the stiff-necked people are? It is us. We are the stiff-necked people. We are so stubborn in our anger. We are so stubborn in our bitterness, so stubborn in our unforgiveness. We do not want to do these things because they are hard. And then we say the Lord's being silent. And he says, I'm not being silent. Give up your stuff. I don't want to give up my stuff. Give up your stuff. I don't want to give up my stuff. I don't want to. I like my bitterness. I'm happy with it. I like my unforgiveness. It makes me comfortable. These are the challenges we have as followers of Jesus. We have to get rid of these things. Our minds cannot bear and be clear and understand what God is saying. Our hearts are blocked if we have these things in us. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 says this, and when you stand with God, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. This is serious. I added that this is serious. We stand before God, we pray, we want to hear from him, and yet we harbor all this stuff. We're mad at this person or that person, and we just have to give it up. And it's a hard thing. But those things stand in the way of us hearing God. If you're not hearing from the Lord, the chances are you're harboring a bunch of garbage, and he is not going to speak through that garbage. It's not the way he does it. He wants you to give those things up. Number eight, they get tougher. Is the Lord being silent, or am I being impatient? I saw some people giggle. I think we know the answer. We're impatient. Goodness, we're impatient. Some of you are impatiently waiting for this sermon to end because lunch is coming. We are just by nature impatient. Years ago, Queen, a famous rock band, had a song called I Want It All. Remember that song? I want it all. I want it all. I want it all. And I want it now. That was the song. That was it. That's the whole song. I don't know if Freddie Mercury knew it was a testimony to the nature of human people, but that's what it is. We want it, and we want it now. It's a cliche at this point. It's a total joke when we talk about people who pull up into a drive-thru and have to wait more than 90 seconds. Don't they get flaming mad? Don't you get flaming mad? this is true. So my oldest son, Eli, was on his way to maneuvers down in Seymour, at the camp down in Seymour, and he ran out of gas. He's borrowing my old truck, and there's no little gas light in this old truck, and, well, he just ran out of gas. So he's down somewhere around Columbus on 65. So I grab a gas can. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. They don't do maneuvers at 9:30 or 10. So he's driving. So I get up. I run down with this gas can. I stick some gas in. I get him off the exit. He gets gas, and, okay, we're good. Well, now it's 4:30. I'm like, well, what am I going to do? So I go to Starbucks. Actually, it was 5:30. It took me that long. Starbucks was open. I go to Starbucks, and I'm waiting at 5:30 in the morning. Who waits at 5:30 in the morning for a coffee? I mean, it's crazy. And this car is just sitting there. I'm just waiting. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I mean, 3 minutes, 7 minutes, 9 minutes. I was like, I don't really need this tea that bad. I'm just about to leave, and the car leaves. And I was saying some not nice things to the person in the car who I've never met. What are they buying for the whole office? What are they buying the entire store? What are they doing? Not even thinking it could be the people inside that were delaying. It was the person in front of me's fault. They were the reason I was being delayed. I waited about 9 minutes at 5:30 in the morning, and I was already tired. I pull up to get my tea, and the lady hands it out, and I go to hand her my tea. She says, no, that lady paid for it. Yes, exactly. Oop. My bad. I'm so sorry. All those bad things I said about you, I feel really bad about that. But that's the way we are. We demand everything right now. When I was a kid, all of my buddies, and I mean all, every single one of them, had a moped. It's not true, but it seemed like every one of them had a moped. Remember mopeds? Everybody had one. I had a bike. I could actually go faster on my bike than they could go on the moped. That didn't matter. I didn't have a moped. I wanted a moped. My dad said no. Dad, but everybody's got a moped. Joey's got a moped. Davey's got a moped. Bobby's got a moped. I don't have a moped. I don't think you love me, Dad. My dad said no, and he continued to say no. He said, you know what? You get a moped, you're not being patient to wait to drive, and I got to teach you this lesson about patience. So you're not going to get a moped. You're going to drive someday, and that'll be the next step in your life, and that was right. So I never got a moped. I waited. I got my license. I got my car. I drove. Guess what I never wanted? I never wanted a moped. I could ride faster on my bike. And I stayed in better shape than all of them. We need to wait. Sometimes we think God is not speaking to us, but we're just being impatient. Paul tells us in Romans 8, who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Those are foreign words to most of us Americans. We must be patient. We must wait. We must delay gratification. We do not like doing that. Look at our credit card bills. We don't like delaying gratification. We have to hold off and discipline ourselves to wait patiently for him to answer us. We need to ask God, can you hear me now? And he always hears. We just have to be willing to wait on him. Last two. Ninth question. This is one that, well, let me just read it. Is the Lord being silent, or do I not trust him with my life and the life of my loved ones? I grew up with a saying. I love my mom and my dad, and my parents are awesome. My mom had a saying, and respect to my mom, and I've told her this, it's a wrong saying. It's a wrong saying. I understand the spirit behind it, but as a Christian, it is not correct. Here's the saying. Maybe some of you older folks might have heard this. I don't think younger folks would have, but the saying, and it rhymes, it goes like this. If it's to be, it's up to me. If it's to be, it's up to me. And I heard someone say, if it's to be, it will be. That's a more faith-based understanding. But that's how we are. If it's to be, I got to do it. Where do you see that in the Bible? God helps those who help themselves. Is that Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, 1 Samuel? Is it Jude? Is that the book of John? Did Matthew say that? Was that a Paul saying? That's never in the Bible. God does not help those who help themselves. God helps those who cannot help themselves. And yes, in the simple human spirit of it, if it's to be, we do have to do things. Don't think we can just sit around and be lazy. But the Bible never says, if it's to be, it's up to me. It says that God is the one that we must trust. We must trust in the Lord. He is the one. And so when we speak to Him and we think He's being silent, we really may be not trusting. You ever pray this prayer? Any prayer, fill in the blank. Lord, I would like you to. That's a silly prayer. My kids try that. I would like to. Well, I'm sure you would. But it's not going to happen. We don't tell God what to do. We ask. We ask Him, even in our most troubling moments. God, I would like you to heal my friend who's sick. I would like him to heal. God, would you heal my friend that is sick? We have to trust that He knows better. That's a hard thing for we humans. And a lot of times, when those prayers aren't answered in our original form, when we asked for the way that we wanted it, and we were not trusting that God knows better, and then it doesn't happen the way we wanted it, and then suddenly we're mad at God. You see how that works? And that's not ever the goal of God in our lives. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, 30 and 32, we read these things. The Lord your God, who was going before you, will fight for you as He did for you in Egypt before your very eyes and in the desert. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place. In spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God. How many times? How many times and in how many ways does God have to show up for us before we will trust Him? My wife makes her way in a lot of my messages, and sometimes she's happy about it, sometimes she's not. I ask forgiveness later. Tanya's a 3-time cancer survivor. Praise God. Some of you know people that have had cancer that did not survive, and I pray that they are with the Lord, and that's an earnest and honest prayer that they knew Jesus. Some of you are fighting cancer even now, and my prayer is that you know the Lord. Tanya has survived 3 times, and yet she still doubts and won't trust the Lord, and she beats herself up about it, and rightfully so. She will some days be just struggling. She's like, why am I struggling? He has saved me 3 times from cancer. What is my deal? These are Tanya's words, not mine. Why do I act this way? Because, Tanya, we are human beings, and this is how we act. We are horribly untrusting people. And when we do trust, we often misplace our trust. We trust in our bank accounts. We trust in our abilities to get things done. We trust in our friends and family, even though they fail us all the time. We trust in almost everything that we can see, taste, touch, and feel, but we won't often trust in the Lord, who has never failed us. Who only what? Who only always keeps His promises. Can you hear me now, Lord? I repent of not trusting You. May we all be that way. Even as we cry out, can you hear me now? We have to trust that He hears us. Last question. The hardest question. This is the deepest look. So you can be untrusting, and I would even say that that's a human failing. You may not be sinning in that. You're just being human, and you're just lacking trust. You can have a lack of faith. You can doubt. And I don't know that would rise to the level of a sin. You're just being human, and you're just kind of wondering, and you're not doing anything really against God or against others. You're just like, man, I don't know. I'm just not sure. But this last one, is the Lord being silent, or is sin an obstacle to hearing His voice? This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where things get hard. Because we ask God questions, and we want God to do things. Why won't God change this circumstance? Well, why won't you stop sinning? Why won't God fix everything for me? Why don't you give up the sin that you carry around like luggage? A designer set alligator. Why won't God hear me? Because you won't give up your sin. Because you refuse to stop doing the things you know you aren't supposed to do. Paul said this, I always do that which I know I should not do, and I do not do that which I know I should do. It's a challenge to be a human being, isn't it? And so God is listening to us. He can hear us, but sometimes our sin, our persistent, ongoing sin, doing the same old every day, all the time. I'm not talking about those infrequent sins. Oh, I accidentally was mean to my wife, or I accidentally told a lie and I go back and correct it. No, I'm talking about the lifestyle of persistence of doing what God says not to do. That's the kind of sin that can separate us from His voice, where it stops us. And we are often not good at recognizing our own sin. We will blame nearly every other thing in the universe before we take an honest look at ourselves. We may even go so far, I've heard people say this, go so far to say, there is no God. Why? Because I have been talking to Him for years and He never answers me. Oh my goodness. So for all the years you've been talking to God, while you're cheating on your wife, you don't pay any taxes, you lie to everybody you see, you steal everything at work that isn't nailed down, and you wonder why you can't hear from God. Or the guy who says, I don't know why God doesn't talk to me. Well, maybe because you only always abuse your family, because you're just a jerk. You're a terrible person. And until you stop being a terrible person and turn to God and say, forgive me, I repent, what do you want Him to say to you? What are you expecting? I've said this before. Years ago, I was in Atlanta. I don't remember why I was there. I might have been in a conference. And these people were walking by, and they were really nice people, but they were saying something theologically terrifying. They were saying, and they had T-shirts that said, you got to get what you're owed. You got to get what you're owed. And they were also were at a, I won't call it a competing conference, but it was a conference going on at the same time. It was a praise and worship conference. I was at a preaching conference. I do remember now. And they had these shirts that said, you got to get what you're owed. And I had my little Bible and my little pastor badge and looked real pastorly. And I was walking, and one of them came up, isn't that right, pastor? You got to get what you're owed. I said, no. You take that. I don't want that. I do not want what I am owed. My sin mandates that I am owed death. The sin in my life requires that I be separated from my Father in heaven eternally, because He cannot behold or abide by any sin. He will not. And so my sin requires that I live eternity separated from Him, but for Jesus. And so I don't want what I'm owed. And I don't want my sin to stand in the way of me hearing from God. I want to put that stuff away, to give it to Him, to repent of it, to turn away from it, and say, can you hear me now? And I trust that He does. I trust that He can hear me now. Does the clay say to the potter, why did you make me into a bowl? I don't think that's even possible. Who are we that we should expect anything from God? We make demands of God all the time. And the truth is, we are never in a position to demand anything from God. He alone is the arbiter of what transpires between us and Him, between humans and the Creator. He alone decides that. And if you can't deal with that, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. But I think you can. For any parent in this house, and any parent in this room, in your house, there are times with your child that you make a unilateral decision that your child has no comment on and can make no difference in their lives. I mean, they don't get to say anything, and you have no problem doing that. You have no problem doing that. I made this decision, and you will abide by it. Even to the child crying in a puddle of tears on the floor, I have made my decision. And we'll do that as humans. Heck, if you got pets, you do it to your pets. But God can't do that to us? No, you better not. We hang on to our sin. What we really need to do is confess our sins and stand humbly and honestly before our dad in heaven when we want to hear His voice. Can you hear me now, Lord? Listen. So there we have it. Kind of a roadmap. Kind of a little walk through Scripture. I really encourage you to look up all those verses and read them. It is important to remember that God can be quiet, and so we must listen attentively when he whispers to us. We need to wait on his timing, even when we seek him first. When we seek and wait, we must have no doubt that when he speaks, he is telling us something is important, and we must submit to his will. The process requires us to give up bitterness and unforgiveness and to be patient. Our patience is rewarded when we trust God and confess our sins to him. For when we do, he hears our cry. And I want to share the last verse, which is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It's one most of us have memorized. If my people, who are called by my name, will repent and turn away from their sins and hear my voice, he says, then I will hear them and I will heal their land. That's what God wants to do for us. He does hear us. When we say, can you hear me now? The answer is yes. But we got to wait on the answer. We have to trust in the answer, have faith in the answer, and we have to understand that God always hears us. The band can come up now, and I just hope that was a gift for you today on this 4th of July, that God does hear us, even when we think he's silent. God loves us, and you can go to him, and you can speak to him, and he will hear you. Let's pray, and then the band will lead us out. Father, we thank you that you listen to us. I thank you that you listen to me in spite of me. May we do all that we can to be patient, to get out of your way, to confess our sins, to trust and have faith, to not set up any obstacles between us and you. May we hear you, Lord, because what you say is important and it is what we need for life. And we thank you for that life that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his name.